Well, the other man meant it in a different sense. We soon noticed that, because he asked me, "Were you not in the war too?" And I replied, "No, I didn't have to go to war." Then he said, "If you had been in the war, you would speak differently. Because I lost my sight in the war and I didn't have a good life. My life was hard. To endure rest of one's life as a blind man and without work and to long for the day of death, that was not easy. And now am I have achieved it, I have achieved it," he said and laughed at me, "because I can see again, I have eyes again, and that is something to be happy about. And you, aren't you happy?" And I had to say to him, "I told you, for me everything is still a dream." Then he answered, "It is probably unwise of you not to have realized that you have passed into the other world, into eternity." I realized it straight away. "But the path will become more difficult. It be the path I must take, for, you know, I did not believe in God." And I had to say to him, "I did not believe in God either. But now I suddenly thought to myself, I did not believe in God, but I could see and walk, I could work until the time of my suffering, and I did not have such a difficult life, while other people were hungry at that time. I had an easier life, and I could not believe. And the others suddenly have faith, because one can walk and the other has become sighted, they can believe." And the one who had become sighted said, "You must be lacking something like that, otherwise you could also believe." "Yes, I believe I must step out of the dream," I said, "and then my path will be long too." Then I remembered the one who had said, "Teach me to pray, I want to be grateful, and I want to pray." Did I also have to cry out, "Who will teach me to pray? I want to believe now?" Yes, now I saw why he was so overjoyed and I understood why he was turning the stone in all directions. I suddenly understood why he could enjoy a blade of grass and a branch that he stroked so gently with his hands. Now I could understand, he found everything beautiful, the new world had opened up for him. For me the new world remained closed, but it was opened up for him. He could see, truly see. And I thought, isn't it time for me to see too? Well, he left me again. He went into the house near which we were standing, which was supposed to be my house too, but which I found repugnant because of the noise, because the many fates were being told, which I thought was all just a dream. Now I stayed outside a little longer, but I decided to go into the house. Before that, however, I went up to another person who was also coming and was very close to me. It seemed to me that he had not been in this new world for very long either. I spoke to him and asked, "You are a stranger here, aren't you?" He said, "Yes, strange, I did die, I saw my corpse clearly, I was there when they buried me." And I said, or corrected myself, "They only buried your body, you are now in the new world, you are here, they didn't bury you." "That's the strange thing," he replied, "and yet everything looks so human." Then he said to me, "You know, I understand that I am in a different world. I also believe that I deserve nothing else than to enter a world where you feel completely alien, where everything is alien, where you don't know anyone and where no one wants to take care of anyone else. I can already guess why. But I also believe that there is another piece of land and that it is definitely nicer than where I am standing." "Yes, I believe it too," I answered him, "there are definitely nicer places. Nicer cities, nicer villages, definitely." Then he confessed to me and said, "You know, if there is a God and if he settles accounts with me, then I won't be well. I have so much on my conscience that I could actually hide away out of shame. I would rather not accept that life goes on." Then I said to him, "You know, I don't know how long I've been here, but for me it was a long dream. I came out of the dream from the moment I started to concern myself with my neighbor and to listen to his fate, to listen to him and his whole attitude. So I had to say to him, 'And you give me new confirmation that we are just living on in a different world.'" Well, this brother repeated his concerns, "If there is a God and he judges me, then I can't expect anything good." And he added, "I'm thinking about whether it wouldn't be better if I hid away here in this new world, Because nobody was particularly concerned about me, I did see strange beings. But they just stood there and took no interest in me. That's how it was for me too. You could see them, but they stood there silently. You had the feeling that you were suddenly in a foreign place, that you had gone on holiday and were now in a foreign city and had to find a home, find your way around, or so I thought. And he spoke of hiding away, he wanted to hide away. I said to him, yes, you know, there is the big house that we can go into. I have the courage now, I will go there now. I think that there you will learn more about the new world that we are in, and there will be more entertainment. And he answered, I don't want entertainment, I'm ashamed. I didn't believe in God, I have done so much harm to people, I have so much on my conscience, I can't say it. I will be punished, I don't want to know anything, I'm not going into the house. And then he pointed out the surroundings to me, look, there's a forest here, you can definitely hide here. I want to live there and I don't want to know anything about anyone. He believed that. And I said to him, try it, but if you're bored, you can come and see me again, I'm sure I'll still be here. But I tried to persuade him that we could go into the house together. But he wouldn't let himself be persuaded. He turned around and disappeared. But there was a lot of life here. So many people were walking towards the house, and there were always people coming out of the house too. Some seemed to have a sad face, others were happy and glad. You could actually see everything that you can experience and observe in human life. You can live with happy and joyful people as well as with those who are always unhappy, dissatisfied and sad. In the new world, there are both as in human life. It is exactly the same. In the world to which we had opened our eyes, there was no difference. Now I wanted to choose a suitable brother or sister to go into the house with him or her. It had to be someone I liked, so I could wait. After all, it had taken me a long time before I got up the courage to take a closer look at the new life. And then someone came along who, it seemed to me, also a little strange. He looked around as if he was looking for something. I went up to him and asked him, are you looking for someone? He answered, yes, I am looking for someone who can show me the way. Then I asked him, yes, where do you want to go? You must know where you want to go. I already know where I want to go, but I don't think that I will get there. I hope that someone will show me the way. Yes, what is wrong with you? You know that you are in the other world, you are dead for people, they no longer care about you. But you are alive, you know that. And then he also said, yes, I know that, I know that I am alive now. As a human being I did not believe that, I laughed at those who spoke of a world beyond, I laughed at those who prayed to God and believed in Christ. I laughed at them. Now I am here, and they will not care about me, he said sadly, because I did not want to know anything about them. And I hardly think that anyone is ready to take me in now. And he confessed to me what he had done because of his unbelief, how he had incited others to unbelief, how he had been angry with people who had gone to church and prayed, and how he had even punished children for praying. Now, he said to me, it is quite clear to me that this world where I now live is the kingdom of God and that God reigns here. And we, me and you, he meant me, will not have a comfortable life here, because we have not earned a better life. But I will have courage, he continued, I will just have to take it upon myself and I will try to make amends. I will also try to defend myself as best I can, because on the way here, by which he meant, until he met me, I thought of various things that I want to put forward in my defense. Well, we agreed and decided to go into the house together. And so we did, and there was really a lot of activity here. But as soon as we took our first step into the large room where the many brothers and sisters were and this conversation was taking place, one of them came up to us, took me by the hand and said, yes, just wait a minute, you don't need to come here now, we have another room for you. And then a second one came, took the other one aside and also said to him, you can't come in here now, you have to go into that room over there. And so we were separated, We were led by people who I had considered to be foreign beings. There were the leaders and the managers of this house. I myself already suspected what might follow. I was then led into a room. It was not large, but completely empty. The person who led me in said that I had to wait, another brother would come. I would have liked to run away again, because I was afraid and anxious. But there was no way out, I could not get out, because the other one was already standing there. And this other one was very elegantly dressed, but as elegant as he looked, his face was just as stern. He told me that the dream was true, had lasted a long time and that it was now finally over. I would now have to make amends for everything I had done wrong in my life, and I would be punished for everything that was a transgression in God's eyes. Then the stranger who had brought me here left, and I was left alone with this stern being. I could not sit down, I stood there in this room and he in front of me. And he began to tell me about my life. I now relived my whole life, and he stopped wherever I had done something wrong. The thoughts, the resolutions, everything came back to me. I was deeply ashamed. There was no denial, there was no defense for me, I could not defend myself, because I was full of guilt. I had lived without faith in God and had done many, many things wrong. I had violated the spiritual laws to the greatest extent. Well, life was shown to me, and this stern man said that he could not impose as much punishment as I deserved. I could not pay off as much punishment, I deserved as much. But God was so kind and would reduce part of the punishment. I felt a little better. And he said, in this you will find proof of God's goodness. But you still have enough to make up for, it will last a long time. But first we must teach you about the spiritual laws, we want to teach you about the plan of salvation and redemption. You should learn something about God's creation. We will explain as much to you as we believe is good for you. Then you can be with the other brothers and sisters in the large room where you are taught. And when the time of instruction is over, the time of distress begins, then you will be led into purification, and you will find it unpleasant. You have to pay off something in the world beyond, in the kingdom of God. But in doing so you should try to find faith in the justice of God, in God Himself. You will receive a comforter. He will come to you and pray with you. And so you can then approach God in prayer, you can then also change your thinking a little. And depending on how prepared you are to do what you are told to do and how you fulfill God's will, you will be able to slowly, step by step, ascend. That is what I was taught. And then I had to go into distress. But in this time of distress I came closer to God. This comforter who came to me, this Spirit of God who taught me to pray, who prayed with me, gave me the strength to believe. I was suddenly filled with faith. Just as I was once able to live without faith, I now became strong in faith. I was now living in the world of reality, under God's rule. Here it is no longer open to doubt. But this angel, who taught me to pray, said, if your faith has now become strong here, that does not mean that you will not abandon it again. If this faith cannot penetrate into the depths of the Spirit, it can escape again. I could not understand that. But he told me, when the souls are here, then it will be clear to them, even if it sometimes takes a little while until then, that they are under a higher rule, that this is the rule of God and that he sends out the rescuers to pave the way to him for his children. But then comes the new life on earth, the tests that come with it. Only in the new life on earth can one prove whether the faith is really firmly rooted. Only then, when the Spirit is wrapped in human clothing, will it become clear whether faith will be preserved in the new world. I promised to remain faithful to my faith. And I asked that they would not send me back into the new life so quickly, that I would first strengthen myself in the world beyond in my faith and in the virtues that are necessary and must be fulfilled in the new life on earth. So I became obedient, I did everything so that my spiritual teachers and guides could be satisfied with me. So I began the ascent on the level of unbelief and reached the level of faith. I would like to keep this level, not only now in my world beyond, but I would also like to keep this faith in my life on earth. I would like to become strong through faith in all things that are necessary in order to be able to live according to God's pleasure. Slowly I was able to advance step by step in God's world, and through hard work in God's plan of salvation I was able to experience God's goodness and grace. Through my good will, through the will to make amends, I have slowly advanced. I remain obedient to the spirits of God, and I ask and pray that my faith remains firm in my innermost being. And when I accompany people, I try to pray for them that they strengthen their faith and that they find clarity through faith in the laws and commandments of God. For my opinion is this: anyone who has true faith can live according to God's pleasure. So I was called to speak to you at this hour and to talk about my experiences in the first time after my retreat into the world beyond. All of this should be for your instruction, and you should think about these things. Now I should tell you that the time has come and we are saying goodbye. Your spiritual brother, Joseph, pronounces God's blessing over you all. He follows my words, which I speak on his behalf. Go all of you in peace, accompanied by God's blessing. He should protect you from all hardship, from all distress. God's blessing should make you strong in your faith in God, in Christ, the Savior. Greetings from God. Report of the Ascending Spirit being Jacob through Mediator Beatrice Brunner in the Hall on Munchhaldenstrasse, Zurich. Template, tape recording. Headline, next case. October 6, 1965. Regular, heavenly bliss of a helpful sister. The path of purification of a mother soul who neglected her duty. Regular, greetings, dear brothers and sisters. My name is Regular. I have been commissioned to speak to you, first briefly about my life, then about my experiences in the world beyond. I was single, but had a married sister whose husband died early. Then my sister and her three children moved in with me. Since she was sickly herself, I looked after her and the children. I earned my bread with random jobs and was able to feed my sister and her children with them. I didn't have it easy with her. She was lazy. She loved to sit on the bench in front of the house and chat with the neighbors. Since I had to go to work, I asked her to at least look after the children. But I couldn't rely on her. She was too talkative. At the time, I doubted whether anyone could believe that she was really ill. She constantly complained of being tired. So I left my sister alone so as not to have any more arguments with her. What I didn't like, however, was her talkativeness, that she didn't do the slightest housework herself. So everything was in my hands. But I was religious, had a deep faith and took in my sister and the children in the name of Christ. I wanted to work for them and look after them. But then my sister became increasingly ill and died. So I was left with the three children. I had to take on the role of mother to them, and I looked after them as best I could. The children were devoted to me and grateful. They stayed with me until they were adults. Then they left to set up their own household. But they always remained grateful to me. I loved these children, to whom I had taken on the role of mother in the true sense of the word. So the hour of my departure came for me too. But I outlived my sister by 30 years. When I entered the spiritual world, my sister, brother-in-law, my parents and other acquaintances greeted me. At first it was only a brief greeting with them, because other beings who were strangers to me at first, were busy with me. They were angels who were happy that I had fulfilled such a great task in human life. They said that I would be richly rewarded for it. I had given the children a lot and replaced their mother so well. They would give me great credit for that. Accordingly, I would find a happy, beautiful home in my new world. I was happy about their words of praise, but mentioned that I had done this in the name of Christ. It would be the greatest joy for me to meet him one day, or even just to see him from afar. There was a lot I still couldn't understand in my new world. I had a completely different idea of the world beyond. So I had to get used to all the new things first. But the angels were very loving to me. To my astonishment, they led me to a beautiful village and gave me a house. They said, "You can live in this house. Later you will also be able to take in your relatives, But it will be a long time before that happens. In the meantime, you can talk to us. The angels want you to be my guests. I could also receive other residents of this village for visits. All of these houses had the same style. All around them was a garden, as well as land, meadow land, which every house owner could cultivate if they liked it and enjoyed it and if they had the time to do it alongside their other tasks. Since I had already become used to a garden, meadows and fields during my lifetime, I was particularly pleased about this, as I was used to that. At first I had a lot of visitors from my neighbors. They came to give me good advice on how I could best furnish my house and where I could get the items to furnish and decorate it. However, their opinions were different. Some advised me to use items that they themselves had a preference for, others liked a particularly lavishly furnished house. Still others advised me to have plain, simple furnishings, as this was much more elegant. So I soon saw that opinions differed in this new world too. As I was used to simplicity in my human life, I did not immediately feel the need to fill my house with items, but I chose a few things that I enjoyed. My house was therefore very sparsely furnished, but I told myself that later, when I had become more at home in this new world, I would get more things. But first I wanted to settle in a bit and get to know other siblings. Only then did I want to start decorating my house properly. I also wanted to know first what kind of guests would be coming and going. So I kept it modest. But what I was less modest about was decorating the garden. I was given advice on that too. I was taken to my siblings and shown their gardens and how they were laid out. I was told how I could get these flowers and bushes and all the objects that decorated the other gardens. I then set out to get flowers like that, as well as small trees, small tables and places to set down. I was no longer amazed that all of this was available here just like on Earth, only much, much nicer. I have acquired all sorts of things that make a garden beautiful. It went like this: I had to report to a high spirit of God, to tell him my wish. The angel told me that I should first think carefully about how I should redesign my garden. Because a brother and sister lived in my house before me, after which the garden was tidied up and all objects were removed from the house. The house and garden were to be redecorated and designed by the new owner according to their own wishes. This spirit of God was there to advise me. He also explained to me which types of flowers would be available to me, because everyone would be assigned the appropriate flowers according to their level. I could therefore acquire flowers, bushes and the like that were available at my level. He accompanied me to a beautiful place where entire beds of all kinds of flowers had been laid out, similar to what a country nursery looks like on Earth. In these large parks I was able to acquire a number of flowers and bushes. My companion determined the amount I would receive. I chose some that I particularly liked after making a small plan with my spirit friend. Then he accompanied me back to my garden. Now I had enough time to lay out this garden according to my taste. Contrary to the many different pieces of advice from my neighbors, I had surrounded my garden with a small, low hedge. Various types of flowers, small blossoms, but also beautiful roses were allowed to be planted in this village. I had great joy in it and had the feeling that all these flowers, the bushes and the hedge were becoming more and more lively and brighter. I was happy that I could be my own gardener. Then I also invited my neighbors to come and see. They should come and admire how my flowers were thriving. The Spirit of God said to me, "You are free to expand your garden. If you like, I will make sure that a pond is added to it, in which you can keep fish, swans and ducks if you wish." I had decided on swans. I didn't have to do much to build the pond myself. Other spirit brothers and sisters made sure that the spiritual water flowed and that I got to see the swans. I really lived in a paradise. The sight of my spiritual possessions was so wonderful. For me, this world was perfect heaven. I had a wonderful garden, the likes of which I had never seen in such splendor during my lifetime on earth. I was particularly happy about the swans. The house was simply furnished. I was proud of my house and the surroundings, and I was happy when lots of visitors came. God's angels came, neighbors came, and there was always a lot to talk about. People talked about the future, about the need to support those who did not live in such a beautiful world, who were not allowed to. Art of Gilbert Williams, not from book. People spoke about people and the support that the spiritual world had to give them. People expressed their regret that it is so difficult to convince people of this spiritual world, that they know nothing about it and are so ignorant. The spirits of God called all the inhabitants of my village together from time to time to teach us about many things, because we were not yet informed about all the spiritual laws. We knew our village, our neighbors, but otherwise we had no other access. So we were taught about the heavenly world and its other inhabitants. We learned how important it was not to remain idle in heaven either, that we could have our times of relaxation, but that in between we had to look after the many brothers and sisters together with God's angels who longed for ascension and who would not be able to see such a beautiful world for a long time. We were taught how we could support our brothers and sisters who were lower down. We also learned wonderful things about God's plan of salvation and creation. We were told that our stay in this place was only temporary and that we would be taken to an even more beautiful place. Our current possessions correspond to our earnings during human life. We would have to earn the rest here first. So I was happy with my wages. But like all other spirit brothers and sisters, I was advised to first look around among our own relatives, friends and acquaintances who were not doing well in the spirit world. We should offer them a hand for their advancement. I myself always had to think about my sister, how I could help her, because I had the feeling that she was not doing particularly well. I saw her briefly when I came to this new world. I was a little dazed to be able to give an accurate picture of her, but I remember that she did not look particularly good. My parents' appearance had improved considerably and I did not feel that they were unhappy. So I spoke to my friend and advisor, who was particularly close to me, about this problem. I asked him whether I should now support my sister or whether someone in my family needed my help more. My spirit friend said, "You would do well to take care of your sister. Your parents had already tried with her, but they had too little influence on her. You know that she entered the world beyond long before you. But she has not learned anything, so it would be advisable for you to try it with your biological sister." The Spirit of God gave me more information about her. He knew where she lived, he knew her peculiarities and pointed them out to me. He led me to her and gave me advice at the same time. When I met my sister again, I was disappointed with her behavior and her appearance. Until now I had been completely impressed by the beauty of my new world and was only interested in it. But in secret I had always prayed for my sister until the angel explained to me how much she needed my help. Thus the angel had led me out of my heavenly village, which had become so familiar to me and where I felt so happy, to enter the world which was so gloomy and in great disorder. Everything I encountered there was in great disorder. I found my sister in a medium-sized village, but the houses were neglected. It was not a cheerful and pleasant environment. There were no gardens. Everything looked so desolate. I found my sister sitting in front of her hut, chatting with others. She was happy that I had come to her. Nevertheless, I could not shake off my disappointment, for I found her in a neglected state. Her hair was unkempt, her clothes as well. But what was particularly strange to me was that she was wearing only one shoe. When I approached her, she had signaled to the others. She had been talking them to leave. She was now going to have a visitor. I greeted her very lovingly and said, "I am sorry that I have not looked after you for so long. I could not come earlier. But I have not forgotten you." My sister smiled when I said that and said, "Yes, you will not be visiting me for long either. You have come just once to pay me a courtesy visit. After that I will probably not see you again." I persuaded her that I would look after her well-being, but she laughed, pointed to my clothes and said, "Such fine people usually do not look after us." I replied that I was her sister and that this had nothing to do with fine people. But she said laughing, You belong here, too, among the fine people. I replied, it is entirely within your own power that you too belong to these fine people. She did not want to believe it, and I saw that she was still as indifferent as she had been during her lifetime.